Welcome, Sega fans, to the Sega Guys podcast, where we take you on a trip through the eyes of two Sega fans who spent the 90s in the console war trenches. I'm Dan the Mega Driver, and here's my co-host, the Rich Ledbetter, to my Ed Lomas. It's James the Segaholic. Mate, how you doing?
PlayStation 2. still one of the greatest digital foundry moments ever. But I'm good, mate. I'm tired. It's been a very long week, well, kind of fortnight, and I'm coming at the other end of it now, mate. So just, it's great to be back behind the mic talking some Sega. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, same. I know you've had my week hasn't compared to yours, but just trying to get through a headache at the moment that I've had the last couple of days, and work's been a bastard. And yeah, just to give you viewers, listeners, but especially our members, some context, it's just been a bit of a challenge to try and get behind the mic the last few weeks. So hopefully next few weeks we'll be able to get some content together for you guys, because you know we weren't able to get this one out early, but yeah, we've got a good show planned for you guys. This is going to be a fun one, and you know, it's going to be a nice little read along, isn't it, James?
Aye, it's a kind of series, and it's basically given us like, well, 30 odd shows. 26. Basically. Oh, there you go.
Right, yeah.
Because it's 38, isn't it? We're basically going to be doing the Sega Saturn magazine equivalent of Storyteller, if you're the same age as us. Remember them? The red case with the wee yellow tapes, you need the magazine to read along, you put the tape in, and it went bing, it told you to turn the page. Well, we're not quite going to go that far, but we're basically going to read through and highlight the best stories and the letters and the Q&A and stuff like that that tickled us in every issue of Sega Saturn magazine, the official UK Sega Saturn magazine. But it's got to be fun, mate, because these were magazines that we obviously, you know, bought back in the day and get really into, and you know, you'll have memories of, you know, sharing your issues with your mates, and like, you know, I did with Sam as well. So it'll be fun, mate. It's got to be good. It's got to be good.
It will be, because obviously, as you say, mate, this was kind of the lifeblood of the UK Sega Saturn fan. You know, this was, yep, you know, in the absence of any sort of social media, in the absence of widespread internet, you know, this was where we all gravitated towards. I didn't have this issue myself, because I did get Sega Magazine, which is the precursor to this. You'll see the remnants of that as we go through it. But I did see this kind of metamorphization, and at the time I was still thinking, I'm going to get a 32X. And when it turned into the Sega Saturn magazine, I was like, well, I'm still playing my Mega Drive. I can't afford 350 quid for a Sega Saturn. I didn't really get into Sega Saturn magazine until a year later, but it's really good going through these issues, and you really get a feel for kind of just living in those moments, you know, because I remember not so much through this magazine, but I remember seeing the hype through all the other magazines that I was reading through at the time, especially around the Big Three, all the rumors around, you know, what's coming out in the arcade, are they coming to Sega Saturn, what new games are coming to Sega Saturn. You know, the 3D evolution was very much in full flow here. You were seeing all these new and exciting titles being, you know, previewed, rumored. And it was just a really exciting time. And I think that just going through these magazines is really going to, I think, capture that. I think we'll see how it pans out. Whether we could do, like, if we do one a month, that means it's going to be every other podcast. But we'll see how it goes. Obviously, it's not going to be a complete rereading of it. It's not going to be a proper read along, because otherwise we'll probably be looking at an 8-hour podcast or anything like that. But we'll just kind of pick through and discuss certain highlights.
And we don't want to be kind of like going in. And page 42, we have an advert for Special Reserve. The specials on that were a second controller free with your Sony PlayStation purchase. You know, it's like, not going to go quite into that much detail, but we've went through, and we'll begin kind of through in kind of chronological order by pages, you know, just to kind of basically pick out the highlights. But aye, mate, so that's gotta be good fun.
Yeah, and for all of you watching or listening, please read along with us. You know, we're going to provide a link in the description, which will take you to the CDNnet for the Sega Retro pages. Yeah. You'll be able to get into your a downloadable copy into a PDF. If you're one of those, like if you, I know there's a few people that do listen to us, a few friends of ours. I think, you know, if you've got the actual physical issues, definitely definitely give that a go. So Andy Mackie had a copy as well, didn't he?
That's right. He's got the full collection. He very kindly sent me something which will be put on screen at some point, which is relevant to this issue. But just one pick up. I need to show me one pick up.
Go on.
Because this is the righting of a wrong. Decades in the fucking making. The Segaholic finally has his Mega Drive boxed. Denied. The Atari ST will not get in the way this time.
There we go. Small.
The filter on the camera there for the background's made a bit blurry, but yep, pretty good nick. And funny story behind it, because the seller basically didn't protect the console inside. So it was kind of rattling about a wee bit with the power supply and the cables in there, so it got a wee bit kind of scored up. They also wrote their postcodes in some kind of like police evidence pen that you could see at certain angles. So I was going to return it, opened the return on eBay and put my description of what happened, and it basically went, "You do not have to return this item, you will be refunded." So the seller kept their money, eBay refunded me, so free Mega Drive, mate. There we go.
Price is so right.
I'm still in the process of trying to kind of, I've managed to dull the postcode down a bit using nail polish remover and isopropyl and just kind of gently kind of rubbing away at it, so it's kind of, it's getting a bit more faint. So, but under certain light conditions you don't see it, so there we go. But I finally have the box Mega Drive power unit. Wrong.
You can get box Atari STs as well for about,
mate, no, right, just no, that's just no, mate. See if anybody sends an Atari ST to my door, I'll be getting it, booting it down the street. But like, no, make it stop.
A couple of pickups of my own. It's my birthday recently, but I got Jumbo Safari for the Nintendo Wii, the 1999 Naomi game. Waited 10 years to get a console port. Hopefully going to be featuring this one on the channel pretty soon. My birthday, got Yakuza Kiwami 2 for the PS4. Would have loved to get it on Xbox, but they don't do physical Yakuza games on the Xbox, so fuck off Xbox. I'll just buy my games on PlayStation then. It's just...
The Xbox actually want people to play their machines, man. Honestly, what are they doing? This is how we play now.
Well, it's not how I play. But talking about how we play, I've got Optimus Prime. It's kind of video game related because it's from the Transformers Devastation.
Aye.
Which you need to play, by the way. You need to play that game.
I know, mate. Must. I know. I've seen videos of it and it looks phenomenal. But that be Prime. It's quite kind of G1 accurate looking as well. It's nice. So
it's got a little matrix in him as well. But I've not taken out the box yet. It's just been.
They all have a matrix in them. It's like mandatory for an Optimus Prime toy. He's got to have a matrix in it, just so you can give it to Hot Rod and then fucking smack him.
Yeah. So. I've got a Hot Rod up there as well.
Of all the Autobots to survive, fuck me.
Right, mate. Let's crack this. Let's crack this.
Let's
bad boy
get
open
issue and, one open, mate. Let's go.
Yeah. So lovely picture of Pai Chan, very high definition on the front cover. And as we open up the first page of Sega Saturn magazine, the brand new rebranded Sega Saturn magazine, we get an advertisement for the 32X.
That's that Virtua Fighter on the 32X. One of those very risky 90s press ads with the dad looking at the sun while they're both playing as Lau kicking the dung at each other with domestic violence as the title.
I think we'll try. It's a bit of a transitional issue. I do wonder whether this was kind of a decision made very late in the day, because you still got kind of, they call it Sega 16-bit magazine towards the back, where they got a few reviews of Mega Drive games, which, from what I remember, it's not in the second issue. So they phase it out pretty quickly. But I feel like they all got halfway through making Sega, the next issue of Sega magazine, and then it was like, nope, Sega Saturn magazine, we'll go from there. And thus a legend was born.
The greatest video game magazine ever made.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. So from there, you know, he talks about Christmas is coming, and I think if we time it right, then the next issue is the Christmas dated one, or at least it's the December issue, and that will probably be our Winterfest episode for those on Radio Sega.
Aye, because issue one, it says on the cover November 95, so issue two is basically your December issue.
Yeah. So first thing to discuss, really, mate, and I don't think we've touched on this in an awful amount of detail, because this is something that you've dug into on a video on a channel, which we'll probably stick a little flag up there to link to. But this is the VHS that came free with this specific issue of Sega Saturn magazine. Oh, and he's got it right there. Look at that. For those of you on the audio podcast, James has pulled the VHS from out of nowhere.
Like an RKO, mate.
From out of nowhere. Yeah, so great video you did on... Yeah, love that piece of artwork for Virtua Fighter 2, where you got the whole cast. But, you know, it's a sizable video, mate, for like 30 minutes for the full-length one. And the way that I was planning to edit this one is to have that video on loop in the background with the Sega Saturn magazine logo on there, which is on there for the duration. But... you're probably more familiar with it than me, but it's got some cracking footage of Sega Rally, Virtua Fighter 2 without the collision detection, Virtua Cop, and a bunch of other games as well, isn't it?
Aye, mate, it's the kind of the first real glimpse at the big three, and all of them are in kind of very early stages of development, and you know, each kind of video for the games have got like a kind of splash screen before it telling you how complete it is. In Virtua Fighter 2, even I remember still watching that and being completely blown away by just how amazing VF2 looked, how high resolution it was, how detailed it was, how smooth it moved. And in the demo for that, the throws work. But any kind, as you say, like any kind of collision detection, like punches and kicks, like they're all swinging legs and fists at each other, but nothing's making contact. And it's not until Wolf and Jeffrey face off where you start getting like some real heavy hitting moves, like suplexes and body slams and stuff like that. But it was just phenomenal to see, you know, those three games after you'd kind of been playing the first wave, you know. So this was November. Magazines were always dated a month ahead, if I remember. So that would have been, what, October? It would have came out for November. Again, I've been playing since like July 95. So I've been playing like, you know, Virtua Fighter, that was packing Panzer Dragoon. And then you were getting this kind of second wave of just massive, massive arcade ports that, you know, you would never have thought the Saturn would be capable of replicating Model 2. And obviously at that time, I never knew what Model 2 was. You know, it's like as you get older and you look into things and you research it, you realise it Model 1, Model 2, Model 3, and all that kind of stuff. But at the time, it was just new arcade games and they're coming to the Saturn. And, you know, the Sega Rally demo as well. Looking at the footage of that, it's probably tied in closely date-wise to the bootleg sampler demo, simply because on Forest, the greens and the browns are slightly lighter than the retail release, and you get the arcade model Celica on there as well. But again, it's just amazing to see these games running at that. And even I mean, I love to get an old VHS player and just put this away. I know it's on the internet, right? And like I've done the video on it and stuff, but see, it'd be amazing just to play this just for old time's sake. And again, no, my luck, I'd get a machine that would chew it. That'd be ruined. But no, mate, it's, I mean, there's tons of footage, other games on it. You get X-Men, Children of the Atom, Clockwork Knight 2, Mortal Kombat 2, Alien Trilogy, DEFCON 5, Virtua Racing, Hang On GP, Mystaria, F1, Cool Spot, Robotica, Bug, and more. So there's tons in there. And there's a big feature as well in the actual magazine talking about the VHS and getting into kind of real detail about everything that's on it, which, if I'm looking here, takes place on page 6.
Yep.
So you've got a video preview. But aye, it's, I mean, there's what else is on it. NBA Jam Tournament Edition, WWF, WrestleMania, Arcade, less said about that, the better. Tilt, Shellshock, Shinobi X, Panzer Dragoon, Pebble Beach Golf, Digital Pinball, Mist, Victory Boxing, just packed full of... Mate, see that thing? You're watching this, right? You're like, look at all these games.
Yeah.
Nothing can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong. So much good stuff on there. And yeah, it really is kind of the window into the future of the console. And, you know, these games weren't a million miles away. They were months away. You know, even the big ones, you know, the big three were just imminent pretty much. You know, they'd be all landing in the next few months. You know, the latest will be Sega Rally in January, which is just 2 months away. You know, X-Men Children of the Atom isn't far away either. So you've got all these massive games all coming. So it's just, yeah, like you say, mate, where could it go wrong? And then there's more to come on top of that. It's if we jump over the next thing that I wanted to highlight, as I say, we won't go into detail on these. It's not going to be, I listened to a Sonic the Comic the podcast where they basically go through it verbatim. They talk about each frame and everything. But, you know, that's a 30-page comic. This is a 100-page magazine.
we would be here for hours.
Yeah. But the next thing that I had to highlight was, we just go on to the very next page, basically, is the Jammer Show. Do you remember Jammer? You remember that was one of the big things? You'd have the Tokyo Game Show. You'd have E3. But you'd have Jammer. You know, you'd see all the arcade games getting announced. And this is kind of the first look at things like Fighting Vipers is mentioned on here. Manx TT Superbike. Virtua Cop 2 is previewed on here. Massive spread on that. Dragon Force is mentioned. And you've got Virtua On as well. So, yeah, massive announcements, which really would, you know, make up the next 18 months of the Sega Saturn's kind of life. All of those games were Saturn bound. Manx TT, when did that come? That was 97, but was it late 97 it came in the end?
Around about then, right? So it's a fair bit off. Obviously, yeah. We know that Tantalus did the port of that as well, which I think was a great job. Again, people kind of shit on it, but I think it's a great port.
Yeah. I mean, the little cutout on Dragon Force isn't too flattering. It talks about, oh, what's this, another obscure battle strategy game? It's talking about one of the best games on the system. But yeah, it's as we'll get onto when we start talking about other articles and other games, you do get that kind of that feeling that 2D is now old hat, even though they kind of fawn over some 2D games. There is kind of this push that it's all about 3D, and that's that feeling that would kind of permeate for the next half a decade, I guess, deep into the Dreamcast life.
But as I say, see, again, for me, coming from like the Amiga to the Saturn, see this, these issues of Sega Saturn magazine, this tape, see, like, this was just mind-blowing. Like, this was a quality of game that I'd never seen before. You've got to remember, I'm coming for like Rise of the Robots on 14 discs and Street Fighter 2 on 4 discs and, you know, heavily stripped back versions of any coin-op conversions, even 2D ones. And then you're loading up these and your eyes are melting. It's like it was, it felt like the future, wasn't even the future, was like beyond that. It just like, unbelievable like quality of games. Like, everything was just like jaw-dropping. Even games that maybe whenever you've played them or else as time has passed, you go back to them, they're not great. But see, back then, like, you're sitting, you're like this was unbelievable.
Well, we I was coming from the Mega Drive, and I had exactly the same feeling. This was, you know, I'd never seen anything like it. It was so brand new, and likewise, you know, whether it was 3D or 2D, you know, seeing those. I remember seeing X-Men: Children of the Atom, and I think it might have. I can't remember if it's on Games Master, Games World. Don't think it was Bad Influence, but it was on one of those. It was on TV, and I was like, "Holy crap! What is this? Oh my god! The floor is disappearing under them. These characters look like they're from the cartoon." You know,
if they don't.
Whether it was 2D or 3D, this stuff was absolutely mind blowing at the time. Like, the jump from whether it was a 16-bit computer or a 16-bit console was absolutely monumental, and you know, seeing some of these screens in here. That's part of the reason why I just, you know, I saw the $349 price tag for the Sega Saturn. I saw these games, like, I couldn't afford Mega CD. There's no chance I'm going to be able to get a Sega Saturn. It was like, that's too futuristic. This is like high end stuff. I can't get that. You know, it'd be another year until I got my console. But you know, when I saw this, I saw this in other mags, and I'd be like, this stuff looks absolutely insane. And it was more that it was always the Sega Saturn stuff, even though I was reading multi-format mags as well, like CMVG. It was the Saturn stuff that caught my eye. I wasn't too enamored with the PlayStation even back then. But yeah. But yeah, that's
amazing.
Incredible look at things to come. Next thing that I've got on here is that Marvel Super Heroes gets a mention, page 14. Some excitement about that. I think at the time, Rich Ledbetter was quite the Marvel aficionado. I remember him being extremely excited about all the first the X-Men game and the Marvel Super Heroes game, which I think is great. And but quite funny, because when we get into a review a little bit later on, one of the mentions is how these 2D games are old hat.
And again, that was something that we spoke about, like, on socials before, was that kind of attitude towards 2D games, that, you know, they were viewed as like yesterday's news, like overnight, like they were just dismissed. And that's why it's amazing to see pixel art being so appreciated today.
Yeah,
you know, because it's timeless. It's a timeless art style, you know, especially for video games. But aye, it's the fawning over early 3D. They were in full flow.
Yeah.
But I do like the end line for the Marvel Super Heroes feature. It says, "More next month, true believers."
Yeah. I know. It does look stunning in those screenshots as well. And the Saturn port, it suffers from a bit of slowdown. This would be another 1997 port to the Sega Saturn. You know, this is not quite as far away as Max TT, but you know, this is still a glimpse at the future, at what's coming down the pipe. And obviously, we'll get to that in due course. I think it reviewed very, very well on the Sega Saturn, the Marvel Super Heroes port. But yeah, it's amazing just to see how far back some of this went. You know, it felt like all of a sudden there was this deluge of these brand new games that were coming up in the arcade, and most of them were coming to the Sega Saturn. Some of them didn't, but you know, as we go through this magazine, most of them did.
Page 15, mate, though, we've got an advert for Oxy. Sort your plucks.
No, I do not. I think I had those at one point, the old Joe. I was really bad acne. I had the Giro pads at one point, which I don't think they really helped much. But you know, I was trying anything to get rid of my spots.
The trials and tribulations of teenage life.
Oh yeah, they knew their they knew their target audience, didn't they? Yeah. I'll target the spotty teens that are Sega Saturn fans.
And if they were ever to relaunch it for some ungodly known reason, the target audience would be the grey-haired, overweight people who used to be the 40 teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, hair thickener and head just for men. one other thing to pick out, and have we gone past it? I think we might have done. We might have to go back a little bit. I think it was on page 11. Yeah, we have gone past it. So this is the Surf the SegaNet. Very, very small
Yes.
little news article in here. Kind of a preview of things to come. This wouldn't really gain traction for a number of months when Sega America would go big on it for, was it E3 1996 when Sega
Yeah.
of America went big on it? But yeah, talking about the SegaNet. Network gaining, making link-up cables look puny and out of date. The creation of Sega's new multimedia division shows the level of commitment we have for this format. So, mate, that's it never took off over here. Of course, we never got the network adapter, but it'll be interesting as we go through these magazines to see if it gets mentioned again. But it certainly wasn't a thing when I started picking this up regularly.
No, it's interesting. As it says, Sega Europe head Malcolm Miller commented, "The creation of Sega's new multimedia division shows the level of commitment we have for this format, and provide us with further evidence that the true potential of the Saturn is still to be released. No price has been fixed, but it looks like being in the shops by July '96, not over here."
It never happened.
Right, it's false. Complete fabrication.
Yeah. Do love the there's nothing more 90s than seeing those internet widgets on there as well. You've got the back and the forth on the home, but it gives you that warm, fuzzy, nostalgic feeling. But yeah, a couple of previews to shout out. There's loads in here, so we won't go through all of them. But God in Heroes is a big one. Obviously, that game, an absolutely legendary title for the Sega Saturn. Very well regarded by people that have played it. So they talk about how good treasures their back catalogue of brilliant games for the Sega Mega Drive. Talk about Gunster Heroes and Dynamite Heady. And they talk about the number of characters, summoning the skeleton guy. And they talk about the six player mode. Not the most visually impressive present. That's what I was looking for. Because yeah, again, bemoaning the 2D looks. They say it's not the most visually impressive. I think it is. As a 2D game.
It may not be the most visually impressive product we've seen, but it plays really well. What are you talking about?
Like all
Nah.
the magic attacks and effects and sprite work on screen, the scaling visuals. What do you mean it doesn't look impressive? But it was, especially those, if you got like all the characters in the six player mode and unleashing like huge bombs and explosions and stuff. But yeah, again, mate, ties into that push for 3D that we were talking about. But yeah, it's I can't remember how they reviewed this one, so that'll be interesting as we go through the magazines.
I'm
But
pretty sure that it scored well. It was high 80s that it got, if I remember. So we'll find out in due course.
we will. I remember Saturn Power said it was like the 97th best game on the Saturn, which is ludicrous. 97th best power game, that is.
Oh my
There.
God. Honestly, man.
But yeah,
Unbelievable.
as we'll see, Sega Saturn magazine themselves weren't immune from some iffy reviews of their own.
Aye, the magazine definitely it found its kind of its niche. The early issues are quite kind of conflicted and confused, and they don't quite know where to kind of nail their colours to the mast kind of thing. But as the magazine matured, it certainly found its feet and its proper voice anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, it did. It was like bringing home a friend when he brought that magazine home. Before we go into the, because it's oddly laid out, this one, because you got a bunch of previews, and then this one was one that you highlighted, mate. With the three Saturn's three biggest Christmas titles near perfect, Sega's hottest arcade racing games, and such, we bring you more in-depth arcade coverage than ever. So that's kind of what we're talking about. These games are hitting the arcades, and they're the future of Sega Saturn hardware. But big focus that you've highlighted is on the Indy 500 game.
Yeah, and they go kind of all in. It's a full blown 3-page preview, and it's quite wordy, and they highlight the three courses, you know, in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Bayside course, and then the Highland Raceway. And I mean, Indy 500 is a brilliant game. Again, another one of these Sega racers that's kind of lost, you know, lost to time. You know, you could easily put it alongside Scud Racing until recently, Daytona USA 2. But on the third page of the preview, is up in the top right-hand corner, page 22, it's got Racing to Saturn. It says, having recently been showcased at the Tokyo JAMA show at the beginning of September, you can expect to see more Indy 500 popping up in arcades near you soon, with the more impressive eight-player linked setups making an appearance at larger venues. And they go on to say, sources at Sega have confirmed that Indy 500 will be making it to the Saturn, although exactly when it is shrouded in the mists of future time. Rest assured, though, you'll read about it here first. So, I mean, looking at it, I don't imagine it would have been too difficult to get a kind of Sega Rally quality of port of Indy 500. It would have been stripped back, probably 30 FPS. But, you know, it would have been 30 FPS. But it's just, I mean, if you ever played Indy 500, it moves at some pace. But yeah, we've already seen with Sega Touring Car, which it's a similar kind of pace, Sega Touring Car and Indy 500. So it might have had difficulties because Touring Car has its notorious juttery frame rate, where you need to play it with a 3D controller. Play the Japanese version, it makes it more playable. So I think Saturn could easily have done a port of it, but again, just one of those ones, the decision was made when, we'll never know, but it would certainly have been a welcome addition, because like, I've only ever seen videos of it, I've never actually played it in the flesh, in the arcade. So
not in the arcade, no, I've played it, played it emulated. Two emulator, but I might have seen it in Sega World. It's one of those, you know, if you got like 10 quid in change, 10 goes on arcade machines, you've got to pick and choose which ones you're gonna,
and there was struggle show, mate.
Yeah, it's already, I think there was probably 10 other games I wanted to play over this. I think Jurassic Park The Lost World was 2 quid. So
that's right,
in the Trocadero.
They still pull that shit in arcades and all. Let's see, like that NQ64 in Glasgow, like Outrun 2, 1 token. House of the Dead 2, 2 tokens. Even if you're only playing single player, it's like light gun games, you have to give us more. So Indy 500 would have been a real welcome addition. And again, I don't think Saturn would have had too much problem doing a pretty respectable port of it.
Yeah. Interesting, if we go back a bit, actually, and I hadn't flagged this one, but, you know, if we go back to page 17, just beneath the Guardian Heroes preview, we do have the preview of F1, which it's said that it's a Sega game. I'm trying to remember, it wasn't actually Sega that developed it internally. I think, was it Genki that did it? I can't remember. But yeah,
it was F1 Live Information, it was called in Japan. Right,
an actual phenomenal game, very underrated. Some of the kind of the visual hallmarks that you'd expect in an Indy 500 game, you know, you've got tracks that go through kind of built up areas, you've got the speed. So using that as kind of a yardstick, Saturn, I think, could have turned in a decent version of Indy 500 using F1 as a yardstick, but considering that it would have been done by Sega's internal team rather than outsourced. But yeah, have you played F1 or F1 Live Information?
I've played F1 Live Information. It was called F1 Challenge whenever it released here.
Oh yes,
and it was developed by Sega CS.
Was it?
Yeah, so on Sega Retro, it's got Sega CS, Bell, and Jitensha for some graphics. And it was released under the Sega Sports branding in Japan and Europe and Australia.
Yeah, I think it was Bell that did the majority of the development duties on there. But yeah, it's a great racing game actually. It's you're not going to play it over Sega Rally or probably Daytona, but it's before the PlayStation got its own fully branded F1 with the commentary and the actual presentation that looked like the TV. This was absolutely brilliant. It's still good to play now if you want a more arcade focused experience.
It's got, it's not got all the teams and drivers,
No.
but it's got the majority of the tracks as well, and they're all painstakingly recreated. I mean, it runs great. So, I mean, no, I played it, I had plenty of fun with it. As you say, though, mate, whenever the PlayStation got its official version, though, that people were quite rightly fawning over it because, it had all the official graphics and you had as repetitive as Murray Walker's commentary was.
What?
Oh, it's Hill. Oh, it's like Schumacher. It's like quite repetitive, but it again at that time, it was like, oh, it's like I'm playing the TV version, and it's amazing what that authenticity can do to a game. You know what I mean? It's like F1 Challenger Live information plays great, looks great, but it just didn't. Because it didn't quite have that full official kind of tag to it, that kind of whenever the real thing came out, and also bizarre creations as well that were behind the PS1
Yeah,
game,
it's a
the legends, that is just, I mean, F1, I remember the hype in school whenever F1 came out in PlayStation, people were going nuts.
yeah, same. It was a big release over here, and yeah, thing is though, the thing about F1 Challenger, F1 Live Information is, they had Murray Walker, but the soundtrack to the Saturn F1 game is absolutely phenomenal. It's aged a lot better than Murray Walker's repetitive lines, mate.
Aye, nah, definitely. Nah, as you say, mate, I mean, that engine could have easily been used for Indy 500. It moves at a fair pelt, good draw distance on it. So, aye.
Yeah, make some tweaks to the handling and, redraw, different tracks, etc. Maybe have some kind of crossover and feature some of the tracks from F1. Who knows? But yeah, would have been interesting, mate. Next preview after the Indy 500 that I wanted to touch on is an interesting one. Deadly Skies. I don't know if you remember much about this one, mate. I thought Deadly Skies. That's a PlayStation game, and yeah, this was originally a 3DO game, which was then kind of a development move to the Sega Saturn, but it never came out on the Sega Saturn. In the end, it only came to the Sony PlayStation, and not in 1996 either. It took all the way until 1997 for Deadly Skies to actually finally reach retail. But yeah, it was.
I wonder if there's a build of that.
Not one that I've been able to find, but I yeah, it's only after this jogged my memory that I had a quick look. So maybe there is one, but not that I could see like quickly through the usual places. But yeah, Deadly Skies. I remember this came to PlayStation. I forgot that there was a preview of a Saturn version, and apparently this was there was at the pre in this preview there wasn't even a PlayStation version mooted. It's a Saturn exclusive, this one, which. Given the was it, is it Ace Combat? That's the Namco one. And that came with that was a over here. It was a launch game with the PS1, wasn't it? I think, or came out in the first year. It would have been good for the Sega Saturn to get a air combat game, albeit, yeah. Once again, you got to do your freaks and say it never happened.
Right, it's a complete fabrication. We made that one up.
But yeah, it's fascinating. I do hope that we get a build of this one day. I mean, there's quite a lot of different screenshots in and quite a lot of content.
Aye,
So
and the
you've got to
thing is,
assume they're pretty far along.
aye, because the screenshots, again, it's that thing we talk about that there's an identity to the consoles at that time. Look, that's clearly Sega Saturn screenshots, So were they bought off like core?
I think given it was 3DO, then PC, and then Sega Saturn, and then finally like years later it was on PS1.
And they were kind of struggling to
yeah.
When will we release it?
Yeah, I think it was a game stuck in development hell. But staying on the aerial combat theme, mate, the next preview, which we'll touch on, and I think we want to talk about this one a bit more in depth separately, or at least I think you're thinking of putting a video together, but one that we both played early on, Firestorm Thunderhawk 2.
What a game, man.
Yeah, what a game this turned out to be. The sequel to the Mega CD game, Thunderhawk, which I didn't play at the time. So, seeing oh, the mythical Mega CD game, oh, but it's going in fully 3D. This was, again, it was mind-blowing. And the game turned out really good, I think. Obviously, we'll get to the review when it comes around, but I think thoughts on this one, mate, it's, I think you're the same thoughts of me that it was a kind of a cornerstone of those early Sega Saturn years.
Aye, I mean, whenever I think we both got it in our bundle from Dixon's,
I actually bought mine separately, but I bought it after I played it on PlayStation.
it was that was in my bundle for Dixon's, unbelievable. Along with Euro 96, Sega Rally, Virtua Fighter 2. But I mean, again, there's something about aerial combat in helicopters. If you're a certain age, if you grew up in the 80s, and you know where I'm going, right? Airwolf, right? It's just you can't help but make the connection, like this super attack chopper. Even on the preview, the artwork for it, it's just this amazing Airwolf-esque looking chopper with like missiles firing off the wings on it. It's just, oh, I mean, the game itself is phenomenal. It's, I think people would look at it now and think that it's aged quite badly, but as you said, mate, it is that kind of like cornerstone of early kind of Saturn titles, year one Saturn titles, and you've got your first person view, your third person view. The combat is phenomenal, the controls are responsive, it's so satisfying. Like you can swoop in, just get that crosshair right on a tank, poof, and then just away. It's like it's so satisfying, man. It's such a good game.
It really is. I feel like playing it now. I think we will. But yeah, it's great to see that preview. I can't remember what it got, but from a personal perspective, I think we're both fans of it. And
Oh, aye.
core design as well. They were very much MVPs for Sega. They had a bunch of games on the Mega CD. They really supported the hell out of that with the original Thunderhawk, Soul Star, and a couple of others. I'm
Was
trying to
Jag
think of
XJ220 core?
it. I think it might have been. I can't remember. I can't
Chuck
remember.
Rock as well. Did Chuck Rock get a Mega
Chuck Rock,
CD release?
both the Chuck Rock games have Mega CD releases, with like FMV intros. Yes, it is. XJ220 is also a core game.
Is there also Amiga games?
Yes, there is. And so was Wolfchild.
Wolfchild, oh man.
That was a cool game as well. So
It's
yeah,
funny you're
so
calling them like Sega stalwarts, but I mean, I always think of core design, always think of the Amiga. I'm
yeah.
sure they did. Was it Heimdall they did as well on the Amiga? Which was
I don't know that one.
a kind of Viking kind of 2D RPG story driven kind of game. It was great fun. Really nice art style.
Yeah, I think I think they moved, if they were heavily into Amiga, and then they moved a lot of their games over to the Mega CD, and then when they came to Saturn, up until 96, they were all in on Saturn. There was loads of games that they made for the Saturn. Even got their own demo disc with Saturn Power eventually,
That's right, huh?
until Tomb Raider, and then the kind of the wheels fell off. But yeah, look forward to seeing how that one fares. The letters are next, mate. And I think did we want to do a letter each?
If you want me, I
Well, I'm gonna go with Mr. V from Castle Grayskull, first of all. He wanted to have his say regarding the 32X and the Mega CD, saying that he's a dedicated 32X owner, but he's concerned about the machine's future. The Mega CD was not successful, not because it was a bad machine, but because hardly any of its software exploited its potential. Even today's releases are mostly FMV, and 32X CD-ROM titles are just the same FMV games. It's disappointing that there's a few 32X games that use the CD-ROM, but only my real problem is that the 32X is being cartridge-based, has limited memory. So without the CD-ROM memory, the 32X still boasts some fantastic games. But what's about the future? Virtua Fighter is big news. The Scavenger games shown in Initial 15 will be good, and Soulstar X, Calibri. But, he wants to be optimistic about the 32X. Sega learned their mistakes from the Mega CD, and did find the reply kind of interesting. The trouble with the Mega CD is that no one was really willing to develop great games for it until enough people had owned one. Otherwise, no one would be able to buy it, and it'd never make a return. The same story could apply to the 32X, but there are actually enough decent games either out there or on the way to justify the dough. So hopefully loads of people will have a 32X on their Christmas list. This will mean tons of potential customers for software companies and even more games. It's a vicious cycle, see? It works both ways. Fingers crossed. I'm pretty sure the 32X was dead by the time the Virtua Fighter came out, and that was pretty much it. At least over here, I know the Spider-Man game came out in the US and maybe a couple of others after, but yeah, found that an interesting snapshot of kind of where we were at the time. 32X already with some concerned owners and sitting on life support. Sadly, I'd imagine this guy was one of the guys. Imagine Mr. V probably ended up buying a PlayStation.
Aye. You can just see it, can't you? He's disillusioned already.
Yes, absolutely. I know there was one that you picked out, mate, which got a chuckle. So do you want to share that one?
Yes. Yours faithfully, Peter Davies from Rhyl in North Wales. So it starts off, you know, The kind of letter is titled "I Will Confess," and he starts off, "May I begin by congratulating you on the quality and affordability of your publication. I am a relative newcomer to this area of entertainment and a firm believer in first impressions counting." Okay. So he says, "Towards the end of August 95 until mid-September, I must have purchased 90% of all games magazines on the market. However, none impressed me as yours did. And subsequently, you now have a loyal customer." So he's set the stall out here. The flattery has set the foundations.
Getting ready for the shit sandwich.
That's it, mate. Congratulations aside, as he says, permit me to come to the reason for this letter. I have one question to ask, and I would be grateful if someone could answer the following query about Panzer Dragoon for the Saturn. This, to my mind, is an undeniably well-made game, but my area of concern is this. On first playing it, my jaw literally dropped on seeing the Silicon Graphics introduction. It's not Silicon Graphics introduction, it's just full motion video. However, I will confess to a following sense of slight disappointment upon realizing the gameplay levels were not of the same quality. My question is simplicity itself. Why? Surely if they were this.
Come on, Edith there.
Come on, mate. Put your comma in. God's sake. Rich man. What are you doing? So surely if they were, this game would have been an epic and a class of its own. And then he closes a shit sandwich with, "My thanks for your time and keep up the good work." And then the caption says, "Peter Davies thinks that Panzer Dragoon's graphics aren't very good. Poor chap." And this reminded me of the time I was in Game Zone with Sam and Partick, and Panzer Dragoon was running on a demo TV. in front of the cash desk, and this person comes in and is watching it and they're interested, and he says to the guy with the big shoulder padded suit jacket he clearly got from his dad's wardrobe, it's like, what game's this? Oh, it's Panzer Dragoon on a Saturn. It's not very good. Have you seen Ridge Racer on PlayStation? Like, fuck off. It's like, what's going on here? So, I mean, who knows? Maybe Peter Davies is the shoulder padded guy in disguise. We just don't know. Maybe he's not really from North Wales. It's a ruse. But it's interesting to see that even then, in late 95, there was people who weren't impressed with Panzer Dragoon's graphics, all because of the CGI intro.
Yeah.
It's, aye.
Yeah, they play that up in a response, didn't they?
Oh, aye.
Yeah. Just because you're nice, we'll answer your question.
Yes, you certainly are a newcomer to our mag because you're all nice and polite. Give it a couple of months and you'll be writing and saying, "Oi, tosh, if you don't answer my questions, I'm going to come down there and burn down your office, you bunch of slags." Oh, man. Oh, jeez, oh. 90s magazines, mate. What a time. But aye, he basically gets ripped a new one. But aye, people were clearly not impressed with Panzer Dragoon. Some people were not impressed with the graphics. That would be like 0.1% of people who've seen it.
Well, just clearly don't understand the difference between full motion video and natural in-game graphics, but there we go.
He did say he was a newcomer to this form of
entertainment. He was a newcomer, so we'll have to forgive him for that.
Aye.
Right, mate. Let us up,
on.
Yeah. Let us down. Let's go on to the big showcase. And I think we'll cover all of these because I know we've talked about the big three before. We'll talk about the big three again. But just to share, it's quite interesting. You've got the big three. You've got Virtua Fighter 2, huge spread. You've got Virtua Cop, huge spread. And then you've got Clockwork Knight 2. And you've got a huge spread there. And then you get to Sega Rally after that. But all of these, mate, looking absolutely phenomenal, and well, some nice little details around development there, technical details. You know, when you go through the Virtua Fighter 1, it's talking about how some of the challenges the dev team have had. They talk about Sega graphics library. They talk about how it's not something that the PlayStation could replicate because of the way that the parallax backgrounds move. It's just looking at the pictures, you know, you marry this text up with the video, mate, and, you know, it's a recipe for hype, isn't it? And, you know, I know we've talked about these games many times before. We'll talk about them many times again. But just the sheer magnitude of what these releases were for the Sega Saturn at the time. I don't think it's any clearer than it is here. You know, you've got about 14 pages just dedicated to these three games here. It's a massive chunk of the mag. You know, weird that they stuck the Clockwork Knight coverage in there. It's kind of smacking between Virtua Cop and Sega Rally. But do you want to give us your thoughts on these bits, mate?
As you said, mate, it's a massive, massive showcase. Just kind of, again, you can imagine it's like you've put the video on and you've watched it, and then you're getting in and you're just getting all the juicy nuggets of information that they've managed to get being the official magazine. You've got the work in progress. They're talking about the graphic styles, talking about the backgrounds, you know, that they look 3D, but they're actually, you know, 2D parallax. There's even a mention here that Sega may try and get Shun's Bridge in there, you know, which obviously didn't come to pass. And, you know, they go through the characters, they go through the moves. What's it got here? The propaganda machine. So
yeah,
it basically says the appearance of a 20% complete version of Virtua Fighter 2 at the Berlin IFA and London ECTS trade shows has revealed to the next generation development community just what Saturn is capable of when it's programmed by the right people. According to certain PlayStation developers, what VF2 is doing on Saturn would be unable to replicate to the same degree of quality on the Sony machine, although the 3D ring and textured characters could be done on the PlayStation. It says, and it has been done on Tekken. The scaling parallax backdrops could not. So obviously making reference to VDP2 at that point, you know, the secret sauce of the Saturn,
yeah.
You know, as John Linneman called it. But, you know, again, just going on about the fact that it runs at 60 FPS, it's in a high resolution mode. At the time, they're saying it's higher than PC Super VGA.
Yeah, forgot about, you know, Super VGA. And yeah, you know, even though it was interlaced, the Sega Saturn resolution was higher than on them, the highest at the time, the highest commercial or widely used PC resolution. So it really, you know, it's this sort of stuff's lost, you know, to kind of the time that people just don't. People can look back and just say, oh, yeah, Virtua Fighter 2 was a great game, and it was an important game. It didn't have the story that Tekken had, didn't have as many characters, but, you know, the stuff that it's doing here is unbelievable on console, having a resolution higher than top-end PCs at the time. Just unreal, mate.
And the fact as well, this was like a 20-25% complete version, you know, that they were seeing. Yeah. You know, they also make reference to the lack of leaves on Lau's stage and the lighting on Sarah's stage. Obviously, the leaves in Lau's stage and Shun's, but I've never made it. Sarah's, it doesn't have lighting per se, but it does have the lightning flashes in there that kind of give it a sense of atmosphere. So it can be forgiven for that. But I mean, you know, you move on quickly to Virtua Cop, highlighting the Virtua Gun, or the Sega Stunner, as it was called. But again, you're looking at these screenshots here, and you can't believe how close this looks to the arcade. Again, you know, it's... And I love the first Virtua Cop. I just think, I know you prefer the second game, but I just think there's such a timeless look to the first game. The level design, everything about the music, it's just chef's kiss, man. It's just this light gun perfection. You know, it's unbelievable. And then, as you say, you get, you know, Clockwork Knight 2 kind of just jammed in there. And then you get the big one at the end, you know,
Run to the next level.
Aye, you know, Sega Rally just taking, you know, a massive, what, 4 pages?
I think they're all again, 4 pages. I think was Virtua Fighter 2, 6 pages. And then Sega Rally and Virtua Cop get 4 pages each. So massive showcases for all of them.
And little wonder, you know what I mean? It's a... No, they're digging through the fact that all 4 tracks are now complete. They've got exclusive screenshots of Lakeside, you know, which nobody had seen at that point. Saturn-specific tuning section revealed. Also, we know that you can go into like Time Attack and you can use, you know, custom settings as well. But exclusive first pictures of the super advanced Lakeside course. And again, it's still using that that build it's on, Hidden Palace. Yeah. It's dated October 30th or 31st, I think it is. So that would kind of tie in to whenever this, because if that was November 95's issue, then they were getting that was released a month before. So they were probably getting the footage from that build, which is like 75% complete.
When they say we've had a few days to savor the brilliance of Sega Rally Championship in its current form, and what we can see, the game is pretty much complete at the time of writing, brackets late September. So maybe it's a slightly earlier version. Arcade mode is perfect. there are Saturn-specific editions such as being able to tune your car in specification. And still things that need to be added, such as the two-player versus battle option. Our Japanese correspondent visited the CS team just a few days ago and reported that there has still been no film announcement as to what we can expect for multiplayer stakes. But I think, you know, knowing the timeline that we do now and knowing, you know, it's extremely close. Obviously, when interesting to see when they wrote this and when kind of all this issue was put together.
Yeah, because in the build it's on Hidden Palace, and I've got it on the Fenrir there as well. It's like there's no replays, there's no attract mode. You can't use ABC start to go back to the Saturn's kind of, BIOS screen. You can go back to the title screen, but that will just keep looping back to the title screen. You can't go all the way back out. There's a difference as well on the menu whenever you're picking your arcade or time attack or options or whatever. It's a little kind of blue kind of planet. I did think it was maybe Saturn, but there's no rings on it. But they changed that in the final version as well. But again, you're looking at your screenshots, right? And the thing that strikes you about them all is the draw distance. There's nothing ahead that's popped in, and again, just one of the hallmarks of just how phenomenal a port Sega really is, And the thing is, it's like even with the passing of time, like we've got means to play like all these games, arcade perfect, Model 2 emulators, I still come back to the Saturn versions.
Absolutely,
You
mate.
know, it's they're just refined. They're just like even the PAL versions, which again Sega did a great job at kind of speeding them up, almost artificially kind of replicating 60 hertz by speeding the games up, and getting rid of as much of the borders as possible, unlike Daytona, which is PAL optimized in terms of speed,
Really
but they didn't
heavily
but
bordered.
I heavily, heavily bordered. So the big three were just like there was very little borders on them. They ran full pelt. There was no compromises on them. And again, like I said before, I don't think there's ever been before or since a trio of such high quality releases in such a short space of time for any system.
Yeah, not a
You
first,
know,
not for first party games.
aye.
Yeah, it's, I don't think there's any of it. And yeah, I don't think there's. Nintendo certainly haven't done it. They like to space their releases out. PlayStation, they've never had that quality, but Xbox haven't either. So yeah, and yeah, unfortunately, they didn't move the needle as we'll see. But which is, yeah, it just goes to show it doesn't matter if you've got the games. It's all about the
But
optics from the masses.
that's the thing as well. People like to kind of retrospectively say, ah, but people wanted more narrative-driven story-based games. I'm like, but no, Final Fantasy VII didn't come out here until Christmas '97. Metal Gear Solid was the following year. That's whenever kind of story-driven kind of games with cutscenes and things like that started to kind of come to the fore. This was 95 heading into 96. Arcade ports still had an impact. So it is bizarre that those three games, for whatever reason, could not sell Saturns. It's still one of the things that baffles me the most to this, even this day. Like, it's not changing kind of tastes in terms of gamers. I just can't believe that those three games never turned enough heads to make people put their hand in their pocket.
People are still playing Tekken, the original Tekken, which is janky as hell. And Ridge Racer with its one track, and then Ridge Racer Revolution would come after, which that's a not a great game. Least favorite Ridge Racer game, saying something. But yeah, and then we've got the, you know, all this Sega Rally fawning, and then on the very next page you've got the Daytona times, which you've got four screenshots at the bottom and you can see the popping, especially on the Dinosaur Canyon one. It's like the track just ends.
Aye. It's just there's nothing there. It's like, and you've got your fastest laps as well. I always wondered how people like hook their Saturns up to their VHS machine and like record themselves playing it and send it in as
Possibly.
proof.
Oh,
I
well,
remember there
it's
was an issue where
interesting.
somebody actually got disqualified for the Sega Rally Time Attack competition. We'll get to that in due course. That'll be one
Yeah,
that'll come up.
we'll want video footage of the game in replay mode.
Right. They basically disqualify somebody because they found out they were cheating. I mean, imagine
I think
cheating
I remember
in a
that.
magazine competition. Jesus Christ.
I'd be doing anything, wouldn't they? Right, mate. Moving on, then. This is another one that you flagged. Video CDs. And this is something I've still not had myself. I'd love to get a video CD card. I'm going to have to get one at some point. But they were definitely going big on this feature, and trying to really push the multimedia kind of credentials of the Sega Saturn. We touched on it with the Netlink, but video CD and talking about video CD cards and the best films on there. You got Wayne's World on there. Talks about photo CD packages, but it's interesting to see them pushing it quite hard on here.
I mean, I never realized it was 170 quid.
Yeah.
Jeez, well, if you paid 400 quid for the console and you want to watch films on a disc, 170 quid. You know, average movie CDs, 10 to 20 quid. You know, what we think at the moment is more for people who want to show off. But then again, if there's a choice between this and a video player and they give it 7 out of 10 for value for money. But, you know, it says on here, it all depends on what you want to get from your Saturn. If you just want to play games and nothing else, it's probably not worth the bother. But I can imagine, like, people who were, like, proper early adopters, like, going all in on this. Like, my uncle had a Laserdisc player. He was big into Laserdiscs, so he never
All
bothered with
right.
a video CD card.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy flipping. Used to flip the discs with me. Take them out the sleeve and flip them and put them in. They had a Pioneer player that the lens went around a track, so you'd like it'd probably be quicker to get up and eject it and turn the fucking disc in and put it back in than it was to sit there on the couch watching a screensaver while the lens moved to play the other side of the disc. Like, but I remember watching like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Mrs. Doubtfire, and Home Alone on Laserdisc. But I, it's, you know, the kind of the video CD, the precursor to DVD, shrinking down films on disc down to the size of a standard CD, you know. And later on, when I found it was further on, much further on, that we get the charts. They actually had a section for, let's see, page 97. So the number one video CDs were Forrest Gump,
Oh yes.
Beastie Boys, Sabotage,
Freestyles from
Thumbelina,
Forrest Gump. Well, that's a 5-star. That's a
Beverly
5-star
Hills
film.
Cop 3, 2 stars. That's giving that a one.
Yeah.
Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan. Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. But, aye, not exactly. I mean, like, Forrest Gump's the best film there. It's like,
Yep, absolutely.
is there no, is there no people working on a way to have video CD files getting played from? I can't mean if it's for Fenrir or for Saru. That people are trying to get like video CDs. I think it might be Fenrir. Sure, I heard something about it. I read something about it, that there's a way of getting video CDs on an ODE. I'd like to do that just for shits and giggles. Just
Yeah.
put some films on my Saturn. Get Transformers a movie one there.
Yeah, I don't know if they put that on video CD, but I'm sure someone's transferred
That's it, mate. Need to look into that. Get some films on there.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's most of the features. Just whistle through those. Onto the reviews, mate. And this is an interesting
Oh.
issue because I don't think we've got many heavy hitters. The headline game is Clockwork Knight 2. And I do, it mentions it in the feature that this has basically been Sonic and Knuckles'd. This was kind of Clockwork Knight 1 was half a game, and this is just the other half. It was went some way to fulfilling the prophecy, but the actual game was a disappointment, and not so much a sequel to the game, but the continuation of it. But yeah, have you played them both, mate? Have you?
I've played the first one. I've not touched the second one.
Yeah, because the second one
It's
starts from the end boss of the first one.
I mean, if it just tells you to split the game in two, doesn't it? It's like it's not even hiding it. It's just is it not? Is the second game or the first game not hidden? Is it unlockable on the disc of the, for Clockwork Knight
In
Two?
the US it is. So in the so obviously they rushed Clockwork Knight out to be out for Christmas, I think, in Japan. Cut the game in half. And then released the second game in Japan later. And then later then a little bit later on they did the Pepperoto double pack where they put both games on a single disc. And in America, because that collection was basically kind of the updated version. In the US, they thought, well, we'll just localize the latest version of Clockwork Knight 2, but we'll cut or cordon off Clockwork Knight 1. But then I think Bo Bales found a code to bring back Clockwork Knight 1 back so you could access that in Clockwork Knight 2. I think they're both cracking games, I've got to be honest. And the score of 88% in here, I do kind of agree with it. At the time, I think for Lost Ability is 71, it's a short game, but it's a cracking game to play, I think, really. Whenever I play both of them, I really enjoy it. Beat them for the first time not too long ago, actually. It wasn't I only got my hands on the second one a few years ago. But yeah, great little platformers. Talks about how if you want more challenge, play Bug. I don't want to be that frustrated. Thanks, Clockwork Knight, perfect for me. An hour long,
Just
rattle
play
through.
the Japanese version of Bug. It's easier.
Still not easy enough. Still really
Bug
frustrating.
jump shite.
Yeah,
I love the fact that's what the name translates to in Japanese version. Just when I heard that, just tickled me when I heard that. Bug jump shite.
SimCity 2000 and Theme Park. It's interesting that they both got reviewed in the same issue, from Bullfrog and Maxis, both the old God Sim games that you'd get on the PC and the Amiga. Did you play
Mate,
either of these
I've
on
not played
Saturn or
SimCity
Amiga?
2000, but Theme Park, mate, both the Saturn version and the Amiga version. Oh, what a game, man. See, whenever you get your park completely built up, you used to set your chip stall beside your drinks, and you put tons of salt in the chips to make them go and buy more juice. Then you filled the juice with ice, so it was crap, so they bought more juice. But then you had to watch for people being sick. You need your wee janitors walking about, sweeping up the whitey and the rubbish. And then you'd like rides that would like break down, so your wee repair guys came out and they built the fence for it. There was like wee smoke billowing out and everything. Oh man.
Theme Park's just such a good game. It's
Oh
such a
mate, it's
good game.
brilliant. Absolutely. Your roller coaster breaks down with people on it. It's like fix it. Bouncy castles bursting and oh, just
Yes. See, I was more part. I bought the Mega Drive version in 1995 when I was, trying to get games to tide me over, and I spent so much time on the Mega Drive version. I actually love the Mega Drive version so much, and I think part of the appeal for the Dreamcast Mega Drive version is that it's quite simplified compared to the Amiga and PC. Obviously, the Mega Drive, you can't create your own roller coasters to the same extent. You can do your own roller coaster track, and you've got certain pieces, but nowhere near. But yeah, on the Saturn, I think it tries to be too much. I feel like the Saturn tries to kind of match the PC version, which it does, but I just don't think it suits kind of a console experience as much. I think it's more at home to playing on something with a mouse and keyboard. I don't know if it supports the mouse. I've never tried it, but good game nonetheless. 90%, I'm not sure. SimCity 2000 also, yeah, quite tricky, I think, to play with a pad, but both of them are, top tier. Games, but yeah, I think if I have to pick a favorite out of either of the series, it'll be Theme Park on the Mega Drive, and SimCity on the Super Nintendo. But yeah, yeah, theme park, mate. It's the Mega Drive version is all the same stuff. You put the salt in the chips, put them next to the drink. Even in the screenshot there, you can see the chip stand next to the drink stand.
You see the bouncy castle with people on it, but there's smoke coming out of it. And then the best bit is there's a queue waiting to go on it as well.
Yeah, I know. Then you break the queue up because you have to send the repairmen in. They go in, the maintenance That's guys, right. And they put up the sign, get fixing it, and all the people walk off and you can go over their heads and go, what are they feeling like? They're upset, they're angry or whatever. But the bus that keeps coming when your park's properly built up, the bus keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's right, man. There's like the screenshot there, the water slide. Remember the water slide?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Big water slide there as well.
Aye, that's a great game.
Great game. Yeah, 90% on that. Next one on here is Street Fighter the Movie.
Mate, this slapped, is funny.
Slapped with 49%, and they hated this.
Pointless waste of time and money on behalf of everyone involved, except the actors who got paid for doing it. Do not be conned.
So, when I was talking about, 2D games on the, X-Men, Children of the Atom, Marvel Superheroes coming to the Sega Saturn, and the excitement around those, it's just this review, Street Fighter the Movie is all set to hit the Saturn, allowing gamers across the globe to constantly pick Cammy as their character so they can have a look at Kylie Minogue's pixelated bum. The sad gets. The main complaint is there isn't even a conversion of the coin-op. The meager features that this would have offered. Oh no, it's just a straight port across of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So they acknowledge here that it is just Super Turbo. It's not like others that seem to think that it was a port of the arcade game. This means you get your super combos and other trash. You've come to expect
that's unbelievable trash.
Yeah. Trash. The other main claim is this game speed, which is far too slow, which is justifiable. Not just slow to start, but slow when the game gets busy. I don't think there is any slowdown on it.
No,
it plays just like Super Turbo without the turbo mode. This is the first Street Fighter game that has appeared on the Saturn. Hopefully, it will be the last Street Fighter. The movie just illustrates how redundant the 2D beat-em-up format is these days. And random spasmodic special moves, lack of strategic depth, and crap graphics. Yeah, the graphics are crap for Street Fighter the movie. That's because of the art style, but wow.
Virtua Fighter comes free with the Saturn. You don't need to waste your money on pap like this. From the man who sounds like a washing detergent. Reviewed by Radian Automatic.
Not listed amongst the staff credits, which is interesting.
Bang in the dirt is gone.
So is it hopefully it's the last, God, can you imagine a world where we didn't get Street Fighter Alpha 2 on the Sega Saturn?
X-Men versus Street Fighter. Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter.
It's the tune changes when it gets to Alpha, and I've obviously done retrospectives on both Street Fighter the Movie and Street Fighter Alpha, and Alpha is definitely the better game, no question, but Street Fighter the Movie does have more content, and it does play like Super Turbo, albeit slower version. It's not a terrible game like everyone likes to make it out to be. It's just an ugly and mostly pointless game. if it's the first Street Fighter game on Saturn, it's not 49%. It's it's a 7 out of 10, surely. And I'm gonna have to skip ahead, mate. I'm gonna have to skip ahead to page. What page is it on? 78. And there's a review of Mortal Kombat 2 on the Sega Saturn,
which is abysmal.
Oh, I love Mortal Kombat 2. I love Mortal Kombat 2. It's probably my favorite Mortal Kombat game, but not this version.
The load times are horrendous.
Yeah, the frame rate is all over the place. There's all sorts of hitches. It just doesn't play well. It's a mess. I mean, at least Street Fighter the Movie plays like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo without the turbo. But Mortal Kombat 2 on the Saturn is just, oh, I don't know how they managed to cock that up as much as they did, but I don't know what they were smoking here. I mean, who reviewed this?
The same guy, Rad.
This is Rad. 93%, a gut-wrenching way to tide yourself over until Mortal 3 turns up. And it's arcade perfect. No, it's not. What more could you want? It's... words fail me on this one, mate.
It's not a 93%. Is it the fact that he's just basically slaughtered Street Fighter and said he hopes that the movie is the last Street Fighter game to ever come to Saturn, then to review Mortal Kombat 2 and wax lyrical over a bad port? It's like, maybe then. It's like,
yeah. I can't remember Ready on Automatic being in the magazine when I picked it up. I think he was a guest writing from because I remember him more in CMVG. And I think Meme Machines. But yeah, it's just well out of touch here, I think.
Right. Sounds like he's a Mortal Kombat fanboy. He doesn't like Street Fighter.
It does, yeah. It does, right. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. I'd be tempted to switch those around, but maybe not for Street Fighter the movie that high. But Street Fighter 2 the movie is... Street Fighter 2 the movie, that's another game, which... got to cover that at some point.
Oh, man.
Street Fighter the movie is definitely the better game out of those two. I don't know. Maybe some people disagree. Let us know. More old games, though, mate. NBA Jam is on here, 89%, and tough one to talk about this one. You know, I love NBA Jam. It's undoubtedly a classic. You know, is it a game that stretches the Saturn? Not really, but
yeah,
it's a good version of it. I've actually got that version on the shelf there. I've got the Japanese version, which has absolutely no localization on it whatsoever, so it's just the US version on a Japanese disc.
NBA Jam was everywhere at that time, though. You know what I mean? It was every platform had to have NBA Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, it came to Saturn and PlayStation, didn't it? And it's a pretty much arcade perfect on the Saturn. It doesn't push the console, but it's a classic nonetheless. Robotica, 70%. Not much to say on that one, mate. I think that's probably fair to that one. Mm. I've got, what is it called? What is the Japanese version called? Can't remember. Don't care. NHL hockey, yeah, it's about right. Rayman was a surprising one, 78%. So a game that, you know, it's probably out of all of these games that are on here, the one that has stood the test of time the most and is probably the most iconic as far as kind of mass adoption is concerned. 78%. Now, I know it was on the PlayStation, I think, before the Saturn. And obviously came to the Jag first, I think. But yeah, interested to see this one get a lower mark. Albeit, I have to say that I've not been able to progress with this one because it's despite many many attempts to try and play it, it's very very difficult. Mm. It's a tough game. I don't know. What's your thoughts on it, mate?
One I've not played extensively. I've put it on to have a quick kind of go of it. It's got a charm to it. It looks lovely. Again, you said it's one of the games that's kind of stood the test of time. You know, probably punished again at that time for its art style more than anything else. You know what I mean? So, aye. But it's a classic, you know.
Yeah. For a franchise that's still going now.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see how it was viewed by Sega Saturn magazine at the time. Too samey and downright irritating in places. I can probably agree with the downright irritating. It gets quite frustrating, even early on. But those 2D visuals, though, mate, they are great looking. You know, look at that Scorpion boss in there. It's a stunning looking game.
It's basically it's like anime. You know what I mean? That Scorpion boss, the bloodshot eyes, the level of detail on the armor. Phenomenal.
Yeah, fantastic game. World Series Baseball got a decent mark. That's a decent baseball game. I don't have an awful lot more to say about that, but when I've played that, I've always enjoyed it. But yeah, an interesting set of reviews there, mate, overall. And it's interesting to see how some have fared and some haven't. And you know, with the benefit of hindsight, being able to say how some of these have turned out. And I know that those Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat ones are
That's
staggering.
bizarre.
But it's nice to see
Utterly
Clockwork
bizarre.
Knight get reviewed well.
Aye.
So,
Good
mate, we've
stuff.
nearing the end now. So there's the Sega Magazine insert, which we won't really touch on. back issues and reviews of Mega Drive games.
Yeah.
Premier Manager on the Mega Drive.
Remember that. Christ.
I've got that on the shelf there. The Premier Manager port on the Mega Drive. It's not amazing, but you know it would have been fun at the time. You know, especially because we didn't have Champ Man on the 16-bit consoles.
Many, many a version on the Amiga, mate.
Yeah, had all the
Champman,
way
I
from
tell you.
92.
Champman, I tell you. Signed Eric Cantona or Alan Shearer for AC Milan. About 80 goals a season.
I have been, despite all the flaws, Football Manager 2026 has really got its hooks into me as I'm trying to shake it. But like, oh man, you know, it's got flaws, and I've tried. It reminds me why I've tried to try to avoid that series for so long. Right, I sit there, and I'm thinking to myself, right, I've got half an hour before I really need to start work, although I should really start work early. But I've got half an hour. If I can put a game on now, get through one fixture, beat Chelsea with three. When I went down to 10 men, I was like, yes, I'd leap out of my seat in that game. It's like watching a real bloody thing.
Oh man. See, that's why I don't touch Football Manager on me, man. It's just too involved, man. It's not.
Anyway, last section we moved back to Saturn for the out now, and some you know, the console's been out for 4 months by this point, but we've got Virtua Fighter Remix plus the CG Portrait Collection.
Yep.
So 5 stars for that one. Any Saturn owner should have already played the version of the Virtua Fighter pack-in. It's been hailed as one of the best combat games ever to appear on a console. So why bother with a remix? Well, if you're a diehard AM2 fan or a complete Virtua Fighter freak, you absolutely have to buy it because the glitches from the original have been taken out, plus texture mapping has been added to the characters, and the graphics on the Fighter Select Green have been given the anime treatment. Yeah, obviously the gameplay remains the same as the original. Apparently the fighters are slightly larger, but it's so good already there wasn't any need to change it. So yeah, I haven't got the CG portrait because I've got the Japanese version. I think the PAL version goes for a fair bit these days as well, doesn't it? But
Yeah.
it's nice. This is one that's quite nice to see in hindsight, because of all the oh, Virtua Fighter Remix was an apology, and Virtua Fighter Remix they had to make that because the Virtua Fighter 1 was a mess. It's quite refreshing to read on here. Yeah, it looks okay, but you don't need it because the first one's good
No,
enough.
man. It wasn't an apology. It was basically it's AM1 who done it as well, and the arcade version runs on the STV board, so it's a Saturnized version essentially. You know, it was a test bed for Virtua Fighter 2 for texture mapping, as far as I'm concerned. It was shown behind closed doors at the E3 where Tom Kalinske announced the Saturn surprise launch, so it was worked on well before then. And that kind of ties in as well to when you started seeing the builds of Virtua Fighter 2 coming out just months later, you know. So I think it was more a developmental test bed to see how Saturn would handle the texture mapping fighters rather than being an apology.
There's that, and there's the fact that Model 1 arcade boards would have been quite expensive, and STV boards would have been very cost effective by comparison. So putting out a cost effective version of Virtua Fighter for arcade, simply, do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that's the real reason why this exists, because you look at something like Street Fighter Alpha, putting that video together the fact that Capcom were like, well, you know, some arcades can't afford the CPS2 arcade machine, so make Street Fighter Alpha for the CPS1. Same thing if you've got Model 2 boards that got Virtua Fighter 2, and you've got Model 1 boards that are expensive and kind of out of production, and they've got Virtua Fighter 1, get the consoleized Saturn version, very cheap to produce, put it on that, and you know, you could sell a lot more arcade units to arcades that generally go for lower spec machines. So that may be the reason.
As well, be mate. Get Virtua Fighter into more arcades for less.
Yeah, because at the time it was still a good looking game for arcade. So Daytona, mate, this is one that you wanted to flag because it talks, you know, it kind of once again validates what we've been saying all these years.
Yep. So they give it 5 stars. It says there has been many a harsh criticism bandied about over the way the graphics update, and unfortunately, it has to be said that it does suffer somewhat from trees appearing out of nowhere syndrome. In fact, this is the game's one and only downfall. The good thing is it doesn't affect the gameplay, and if you're quick getting down to the shops, you'll still have time to enter our excellent time attack competition. But they ram home the fact that it's the only fault and it doesn't affect the gameplay.
Yeah.
So, and again, we've said that many times, we will die on this hill that the Saturn version, the original Daytona USA, was the best playing home version of Daytona until the PS360 version. Hands down, the handling on the standard controller is phenomenal. So good to see that message was rammed home.
Indeed, mate, indeed. A few more on there. Bug got 5 stars. So I think they're calling that the best platforming game on the Saturn. Shinobi X got 3 stars, which I think is probably fair. I don't know if that translates to 60%. That's probably a bit too harsh. But, you know, it's a 7 or 8 out of 10. It's a good game, but not one of the greatest. And then Panzer Dragoon, of course, 5 stars. Very short bit of blurb here. Those of you that sent away your Saturn registration cards would have already enjoyed one level of Panzer Dragoon courtesy of Sega. And that alone should be enough to... there. And there it is. There's Valkyrie.
Does he design the games? No, he executes them.
If you need consenting,
there is a demo.
There it is for audio listeners. James has got his promotional demo disc on show right now. But the Sega Saturn magazine blurb says, if you need convincing, let's reiterate our review from last issue. Arriving with the second batch of releases for the Saturn, Panzer Dragoon is easily the most impressive in both graphical and gameplay terms. So, and another one we spoke about many times, mate, that is, you know, just simply an astounding classic.
Yep.
And that brings us to the end. You know, after that, we've got our CD films, which we already touched on. But next month, we'll be looking at continuing our top coverage of all things Saturn. Talking about new titles for 96, Firestorm, Wing Arms, Virtual Racing, DEFCON 5, Revolution X, development news of Virtua Cop, Fighting Vipers, and Manx TT. So, mate, that was... and then you've got we've talked about Special Reserve. Let's touch on gameplay, because gameplay's here as well. Was it gameplay you got your copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga from?
Yeah, it was, mate. I phoned up and pre-ordered it. That was it. They charged my card upon dispatch, $37.99, mate. I literally went on to gameplay, phoned them up and pre-ordered it within 15 minutes of playing Disc 1 on Sega Saturn magazine. I was like, yeah, this is getting bought. This is phenomenal. So, yeah, $37.99, mate.
Oh, mate, I want to go back in time. Look at these Mega CD games. Snatcher, £32. Shining Force CD, £32. Oh, take me back. I mean, I know the Sega Saturn is is 75 quid more than the PlayStation 1 here, which probably did it no favours. But, oh, some of these games in here for these prices. But yeah, that's been quite the journey for the first issue of Sega Saturn magazine to whistle soft to go through that at some pace, pick out a few highlights on there. But that was a load of fun.
Right, we've got our 37 of them to do.
So no, it's been a blast, mate. It's been a while since I've been able to get behind the mic together, and I've really enjoyed this as usual.
It's been good, mate.
And hoping that our viewers and listeners have enjoyed it. We're looking to turn this into a series, and we'd love to hear what you thought. What did you enjoy? What worked? What didn't? What would you like to see more of? We'll try and tell how we approach these issues to that. And because there is a great little trip of down memory lane. It's nice to see some views were kind of consistent, and some were, some of those reviews were a little bit
Outlandish.
outlandish. Yeah, a little bit out of sync with that Mortal Kombat 2 one has no semblance with reality. It's been fun. It's been interesting, and we'll keep picking through some of the letters as well, mate, because I think they're fun to read. So I suppose that all that's left is if you've enjoyed listening to the show, then please leave a like and a subscribe. If you're on YouTube, give us a comment in the comment section below. Tell us what you thought about this episode, or get in touch via the Discords. And if you want to be extra mega, think about becoming a member, which you can become from just as little as 99p with our premium, and all access members getting early access to the podcasts every other time. Apologies, it's a little late this time. As I say, we've had some difficulties getting behind the microphone. But going forward, yep, premium all access members get early access to our podcast content. All access members get a series of bonus videos as well, early access to all videos, as well as getting their names read out, as James is about to right now.
Certainly. Akira all access members for today's show are G-Man, Stiff Peaks, Mikowski, Craig Williamson, Resident SD, P-Wall, Peter 007, with Nick Tullock, Greg Matthews, Tom Fum, Kaiju Leviathan, Nelson Serino, David Owens, and we have a new Akira All Access member, and he's been quite active on the Discord as well, and it's Drickass. So welcome to the Sega guys, and thank you very much to all our members and subscribers for your continued support. If a monthly membership's not your thing, no problem at all. We just appreciate you spending your time with us, engaging with the content, and enjoying what we do. So thank you very much.
Yeah, just to echo that, thank you so much for all of your support and going forward. Everything that you do, whether it's commenting, liking, sharing, anything that you do, or even just sitting here listening to a pair of old farts talking about Sega, we really appreciate you being on this journey with us. We've gone past 15,000 subscribers, which is insane. Never thought that we'd get to this level, but we're just going to keep pushing forward, talking about that games company that we love. So stay tuned. We've got 30 odd more issues of Sega Saturn magazines to come yet, plus plenty more videos and content and podcasts all lined up for the rest of 2025 and beyond. So until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
Here you go.